the February, sorry, the March 13th meeting of Ways and Means to Order. All motions are to adopt unless otherwise stated. Can I have approval of the February 13th minutes meetings? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Take one out of order. Resolution 83. Can I have a motion? Second. 83. Sorry. Can I have a second? Second. Roberts. Discussion. You want to say anything?
Do you want me? I mean,
it's up to you.
Yeah, so this is the county contract with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. It is extending for 60 days, and also in Energy and Environment was amended to change the cap from $500,000 for the sole purpose of purchasing property and equipment for the Reuse Innovation Center up to 10. Any other purpose, it's still $500,000 has to come back to the legislature for approval.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I would like to ask either somebody here, and we asked the question before, who is negotiating the current contract with the 60-day extension?
All of the conversations that I've had are going through the county attorney's office, and I know he is taking back any kind of revisions that have happened to the executive's office, and I know the chair is also in the loop.
Ceremony.
When's the last time we did this? Was it 25 years? How long ago was it?
1992. Well, no, sorry. It was amended back in 2015 to add the $500,000 cap. Prior to 2015, we had $40 million that we could bond without legislative approval. But the actual contract goes back to 1992. And it was tied to our original bonds. We paid those off on the day before Ash Wednesday, Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. That was our last debt service payment that the agency has, period.
It deals with other things besides debt payment, though, this contract.
It does.
It just seems to me, Chair, it's bizarre to me that the policymaking body isn't involved in this contract, which is more policy than day-to-day operations. We also appoint the board that oversees. Historically, the legislature has overseen, for a lot of different reasons, the RRA and the IDA. So it's confusing to me that the county attorney, with, it sounds like, very little to no input from the legislature or involvement, is negotiating this long-awaited contract. Just sounds bizarre.
It's my understanding that negotiation of contracts is an executive function. We've already set our policy, and so it makes perfect sense to me that the executive branch and the agency are negotiating the contract.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It doesn't make any sense to me why the county executive's office is negotiating this contract. The resource recovery has always been under the purview of this body right here, starting when we created this, and you know, we have a contentious landfill argument going on in Wawarsing. Before that, Plattekill, the county executive took the motion that she has no jurisdiction over the resource recovery and no comment about it. And I'd like to I'm looking at Reso 83. I don't see the amendment anywhere in here about it, so we're going to vote on an amendment that's in that it's not even part of this Reso.
Go to Mark first, and then I'll go.
I mean, when these conversations about the new contract happened, one of the first people that I approached was the chair and the clerk of the legislature, and the clerk indicated that this was not a contract that would be prudent to be within the legislative department as a legislative contract, that it should sit somewhere in the executive departments. If it's going to sit somewhere in the executive departments, then the conversations in the past have typically happened with the executive branch, the county attorney. Now, almost every contract that you all receive has been negotiated by the county attorney's office. Maybe there's some input from legislative council. to me, with from the agency, I don't care who we negotiate the contract with. I also understand without legislative input early, when it's time to put it all in front of you all, there will be stumbling blocks, right? But the reality is there's got to be somebody to negotiate with. You all will also have to vote to approve the contract anyway.
Legislator Collins.
This particular resolution does nothing, is not the new contract. It's extending the existing contract for 2 months. That's all it's doing. And it's adding one additional clause that allows the UCRRA to bond up to $10 million for the Reuse Innovation Center. And the reason that we're doing both of those is that they want to be able to extend the contract long enough to get the old contract long enough to get the new contract done. And they want to, in that same time period, be able to possibly make a bid or make an offer on the Reuse Innovation Center, which I believe we all want them to be able to do. So I don't understand what the objection to this is or why we're even talking about who's negotiating the other contract, which is not part of this resolution.
I'm going to go in order here. Deputy Zick LaValle.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that there was a multi-month process with a committee sat by the legislature to look at the contract, went through the contract, prepared a report along with a prioritization of initiatives, a review of the contract that I believe was partially prepared by the comptroller along with an economic analysis. So there was a process by which a committee met in a very deliberative fashion to review the existing contract and to provide suggestions for a new contract in a written format. So as far as getting the county attorney getting to kind of a draft version of the contract, there's a lot of updating that needs to be done as far as the boilerplate and kind of the basis of the contract, and then that report will serve as the first step in looking at items for that new contract.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, that's the first time I was waiting to hear, but we're still taking your word for it. The county attorney, I don't think, was very involved in that special committee, that commission, and now the county attorney is negotiating with a former colleague with no involvement from a legislature. And it is very – well, first of all, the 60 days, yeah, we're voting on something that is – our questions are about legislative involvement. And that legislative involvement is not happening during this 60 days. We're about to approve a 60-day extension so that other things can happen without our involvement. I have no idea how all those the report that came out of the commission is going to be used, if it's going to be used at all. Has it been talked about? Because the people that are negotiating right now have nothing didn't have much to do with that commission. But now, after we bring this up, we hear it is being looked at, maybe. But I will just say, this is not, this is not a contract with a vendor to do road work on county roads. This is a contract with the RRA that we, as the legislative body, oversees. There's a reason for that, because we are a collective body. It goes all the way up. There's certain times you want legislatures, whether it's Congress, the Assembly, run point on certain things and take much more involvement. This is one of them here in the county. The other one's the IDA, and I would never want the executive alone in a room with one person from the IDA negotiating some contract between the county and them. There should be some more involvement, but you know what? We're never going to get it. The only way you get any involvement as a legislator is if the chair wants to get involved and negotiate a couple of legislators to be at the table, or a special committee to be brought forth for a month or two just to get some feedback and be somewhat involved before the approval process. I don't mind the county attorney even running point, but to have no legislative involvement, you know, we saw what happened with some of the ARPA funds, and then they ended up bringing in three legislators. You know, they created a way for the legislators to be involved in the next round of CARES. It was an attempt to stop something that wasn't great from happening and have some oversight. It didn't work, but I'd like to see something like that, but we're never going to get it if the chair doesn't want to do it. So the chair's not here. It hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen. you will negotiate with the county attorney, and we will approve what's put before us. So I'm wasting my breath right now.
Mr. Hanson, did you have your hand up before? Okay. Well, then hold on. I got the Mr. Nolan, Collins, and then Roberts.
Yes. So for a 60-day contract extension with this one raise in the bonding element for a particular building that I think has a lot of support in this legislature, it would be a lot of extra unnecessary attention to have the chair of the legislature and a legislator or a committee involved in this. This action of this coming before the Energy and Environment Committee and then coming to this committee is exactly the legislative oversight. And if there were some content to the, you know, a problem with a 60-day extension or a problem with the bonding for a reuse innovation center, then that would be substantive, and I would, you know, welcome that conversation. To have a conversation just over, you know, that there's attorneys making sure that the contract is okay with the change in the language of the bonding seems very efficient to me, and it still gives us the opportunity for this oversight. So having heard the discussion, I'm, you know, feel ready to make a decision about whether to approve extending the contract 60 days and providing the ability to bond if the agency decides to go forward with purchase of a building for a reuse innovation center.
Is there comments?
Yeah, I want to bring it back to what this resolution actually says. Agreement. So under the therefore, extending the term of the existing contract for 2 months and changing the bonding amount for one specific possible use. And in all other respects, parties agree to the service agreement that remains in full. So we're not changing any contract. We're not talking about the new contract. This has nothing to do with a new contract. This has to do with the existing contract being extended for 2 months, and in that time frame saying that the UCRRA, if they decide to purchase the Reuse Innovation Center, can bond up to $10 million. That's all we're talking about here. So trying to conflate this with the negotiations and the discussion on the new contract, that's out of order, actually. It's not what we're talking about.
Mr. Roberts?
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's out of order to talk about a $10 million amendment that when I came to the Energy Committee last week, that was the first time we were seeing it, changing the bond. I don't even see it in the paperwork today. I just don't understand why I only got one piece of paper without the amendment.
Because
am I missing something?
You have a clean version because it was already amended. So we're not amending it tonight. It was already amended in the other
committee. Thank you. Again, this is the first time I'm seeing the draft amendment. But I got here on the Energy and Environment last week. It was on our desk, similar to the hotel motel tax. We were sandbagged at the last minute, changing the bonding agreement from $500,000 to $10 million, and that's not a big change. That's not something to be worked up about. I think it is. You know, if you guys don't think it's a big change, then you know, whatever. But I'm not going to be silent about this. You know, we're negotiating with the resource recovery. How is this body going to negotiate with resource recovery in good faith? Or the county executive is when you have to be watch every word you say that you might get sued by management for saying something out of line. I just don't find that in good faith. We deserve to be at the table. A $10 million switch from $500,000 is not a small change. Public should be weighing in on this. We should have time to digest this. And I'm going to be a no on this.
Sarah, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Nolan and then Collins.
Yeah, thank you. So I appreciate you bringing the focus to whether or not you approve of having bonding for a $10 million purchase available as a tool to the agency. That seems like an appropriate question. I fully support that. The policy of moving forward with a reuse innovation center is a policy, a policy position of this body. And this will allow it to happen in a way that is potentially better financially. So I think that is the appropriate focus, and when we've finished the discussion, we'll vote.
Senator Collins?
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad we're coming back to the actual resolution in front of us. I support the $10 million exemption for the one purpose of potentially buying the RIC. We have talked in this legislature about landfills. We've talked about waste. We've talked about a lot of different things. And the best thing we can do is support the UCRRA in reducing the amount of waste that goes to a landfill, whether the landfill is in Ulster County or someplace else. And one way to do that is to have them do the RIC. So I support that, and I support the $10 million exemption for that one potential use for 2 months. That exemption goes away after 2 months, and that exemption can only be used for one thing. It's not a blanket increase in the bonding authority. It's a very specific increase in bonding authority.
Any other
discussion? I just want to bring a little context on why the $500,000 amendment was put in place and why the UCRRA board at the time would have agreed to limit themselves from what was $40 million to $500,000. There was pressure from the legislature back in 2014, 2013 to invest money into a more modern day MRF. At the time, the agency board was not in support of that, and certain members of the legislature were not supportive of that either. And so they concocted this idea that if they limit the cap to bond $500,000 and require basically a bonding resolution which requires 17 votes, that they'll never get it. So it was intended to stop progress from day one. That's why this lowered threshold was put into place. We are currently looking at a building. We're now 5 months in holding up the potential sale of this, and I have a board meeting. The reason I asked for this to go first is because I'm going straight from here to a board meeting to hopefully have them approve the contract with the bonding increase, but also to move forward on the Reuse Innovation Center purchase at Flatbush Avenue. I've been contacted by others who are interested, trying to figure out what we're doing and are going to move forward if we do not on that property. And I don't have 60 days. I've recommended to my board, and our outside legal counsel has as well, that if there isn't a raising of the cap, we're better off letting the contract go and not approving a 60-day, because we are really stuck in a position where we can't move, and we've found a perfect facility that we've sat on for the last 5 months, and now it's time to move, and this is the only way that we're really able to push forward.
Was here back in 2013 when we limited the bonding from unlimited to 500,000. It wasn't to stop the progress at all. It was to stop the out of control spending, which we can see that we might be heading down that road again. What to say, this is a one-time deal for $10 million. When we have to get it done tonight, it was thrown on our face at the environment meeting. But as the director said, he's known about this for 5 months, and all of a sudden we have to rush to get it done. You know, it's a common thread around here up on the sixth floor, rush, rush, rush. Again, I'm going to be a no, and, you know, we should be at the table in any negotiations going further.
All those in favor? Opposed? 3 opposed. Okay. I'm sorry. You have to verbalize your no. Sorry. Thank you. Resolution 89. Yeah. I'm voting yes. Yeah, I'm pass.
Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 89. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. I did ask Deputy Zec Laval to just do a quick presentation on sort of where we started way back when with iPark, what the intention was, and sort of where we are now tonight.
Thank you. I think the committee is all aware of a longstanding initiative with the county executive back to resolution in 2023 regarding rental of space at iPark through UCEDA. UCEDA executed a master lease with iPark 87 for 40,000 square feet, of which the county executed a sublease with UCEDA for 20,000 square feet with the intent of co-locating several departments there in order to form the Workforce Innovation Center. I think the committee is also aware that there have been plans to relocate the Ulster BOCES Career and Technical Center to iPark. That's a facility that will take up to 1,800 students and become a real hub of activity and also vocational training on the iPark campus. BOCES is facing a rather stark deadline of having to have the facility ready for them to move in by September of this year. And that's due to different state regulations. And the initial plan was to accommodate BOCES in some of the front buildings as well as building one, which is the larger building that kind of sits behind the front buildings. And unfortunately, due to delays in the remediation of building one, they have not been able to meet that schedule for BOCES on kind of their first iteration of their floor plan. So in January, the county and UCEDA were informed that in order to meet that deadline to move BOCES in over the summer, that they needed to shift the floor plan, which would use more space on the first and second floor of the main building. That was the footprint that was, you know, in an executed lease for the Workforce Innovation Center and under lease with UCEDA. So in reviewing that and really knowing and kind of realizing what a benefit and what an anchor BOCES is to the iPark campus, the UCEDA board met and through negotiation with National Resources mutually decided to terminate that master lease agreement. We feel that, and the UCEDA board feels that in the future, once BOCES is settled on that campus, there'll be additional opportunities to look at kind of expansions for partners and other possibilities on that campus. However, right now, the absolute kind of deadline for National Resources and for BOCES is to have that space ready for them this summer. So the good news is that National Resources was able to accommodate a smaller footprint with the county for the Office of Employment and Training. So the resolution before you and the draft contract and the letter of intent is for an 8,200-foot footprint for a five-year lease for the Office of Employment and Training on the first floor of the main building, right by the clock tower. In that building there, that will allow us to have a presence there. They've also been able to accommodate about 2,000 square feet for Youth Build, who's another vocational training partner that works closely with OET, with BOCES. They'll also be accommodated in that footprint. But so this allows us to directly lease with National Resources on a five-year term. It is still the same dollars per square foot at $1,275 as the sublease was between the county and UCEDA, which also for perspective is less than the existing rent that we're paying for the space that OET is in currently. So we feel that this is still a solid deal for the county. It's less space. It still allows us to be at the campus and, you know, really allows BOCES to proceed with what they need as far as their footprint.
Ceremony.
Is there any private investment? Because when we first got involved in all this, that's what we were promised. There was zero talk of government investment, and now instead of like a business park, this is turning into a huge government-funded lease park? Or can you tell me about a bunch of private investment that we were literally promised? I have the video of the – was all the talk. Private, we got all these. We were told there was multiple companies that had already guaranteed themselves to be getting leases and things. But I haven't seen any of that, and I just see a scramble for government money.
There are hundreds of thousands of square feet on this campus. The footprint for BOCES is about 130,000 square feet. Building one alone is 275,000 square feet, with another building of similar size behind – another footprint of a building, a pad behind it, along with additional space all around the campus. Archtop continues to grow on the campus. They are a private business. And from the last presentation we had with National Resources, they're moving ahead with their residential construction plan, which will be all private funding to build apartments on part of the campus. And they continue to work to attract businesses. And they have multiple leads. They can't always tell us who they're talking to as it's in kind of development, but we know that they're talking to many private businesses.
Well, I mean, it's been years now, and if this was about private, you know, IBM, all the property taxes we got and all the salaries we got from the private industry, we were supposed to kind of replace that. It doesn't seem to be necessarily happening. And what's going on with – so didn't SUNY Ulster have a big – they're still coming?
Sorry, just 2 points there. First – SUNY Ulster and SUNY New Paltz were part of a phase two that would be each 10,000 square feet. That was the second half of the UCEDA master lease. We're still in discussions with them and SUNY New Paltz about what it will look like for them to come to the campus. They still are interested in that. SUNY New Paltz, you know, would like to bring their venture hub to the campus. That's an accelerator that supports businesses. That's its main mission. However, there is a lot of work to do on the campus. And when you talk about what is needed and how come the private businesses aren't there lining up to come in, is that it is not, it doesn't do any service to for the community, I think, to really think of this as it was when it was IBM. That campus had been neglected for so many years and was in many ways rather decrepit. So it takes a tremendous amount of capital and time in order to come in and do those necessary renovations to get those buildings so that they can take somebody on a time frame that a lot of these companies are looking for. So they are working through that process. They've just about, I believe, they've completely abated building one, which was 275,000 square feet. That was the building that was asbestos contaminated, along with the piles of, you know, rubble on the property. That's taken multiple years of practically daily interactions between them and EPA in order to properly remediate that building and get all the kind of sign-offs from EPA to move on. So I think it's important to know that it's a huge investment that takes time in order to rehabilitate that campus so that it can be kind of ready for those businesses.
Yeah, just last question. And I think, and I've been on a record for 5 or 6 years, I think most of those buildings probably needed to come down, but we didn't want to go that way. Are they paying their taxes? Are they paying us? Are they paying their vendors? And are they doing the repairs to the buildings that they're responsible for?
I'll go ahead. I mean, they definitely paid some of the taxes. Yeah. This question has been asked before, and they've made progress. Sorry, I don't have that up to date.
I believe the last report I saw, and it wasn't within the last few weeks, but they had paid kind of you know, local taxes, county and local taxes for 2024. I believe that they were at that time, and I'd say that that was January, in arrears for the school taxes, the second payment of the school taxes from September. But we can pull that for rather quickly.
Local vendors and utilities?
Local vendors and utilities that I'm not aware of. I don't know how, you know, any knowledge of what their status is with their vendors.
You've had no complaints?
None that have come to me, no.
No. The EDA was never, over the last couple of years, has never been aware of vendors not being paid.
Vendors not being paid.
That's enough. If you're not aware, you're not aware.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that.
And the utilities, as far as you know, are being paid by them?
Central Hudson bills. Again, I haven't received any information regarding their payments to Central Hudson.
Has there been any complaints that have come to the county from Archtop or any of the people that are housed there now?
From any of the tenants of iPark?
Yeah.
No.
No complaints to the EDA?
That has come to the EDA.
Mr. Collins? Comptroller Gallagher. Mike.
I'm sorry to be asking in this forum, but I'm prevented from asking questions at USITA unless they're in writing 24 hours in advance. So I was wondering if we could get an update on the powerhouse parcel, which is still owned by the county, had taken significant water. And my understanding is all the buildings on the property are on generation backup power. So I'm just wondering where we're at with the repairs.
So this is a USITA question. This is not pertinent to this resolution in front of the committee. As I understand it right now, as USITA is moving forward with those negotiations with National Resources, National Resources went through a rather significant transition with the passing of Joe Cotter in the fall, and they've been working through systematically reviewing their properties and their finances. USITA continues to push them regarding the 600 parcel, which again has a purchase and sale agreement that has not transferred, as well as I think there was another issue. And USITA has given, I believe, and I'd have to check the records on this, go back just to make sure I'm completely accurate on this, but I believe the board gave the permission, which was required, for National Resources to make repairs to the powerhouse in order to have utilities in the back buildings. Those are utilities that are not part of the tenants of the iPark campus. Those are separate parcels that happen to be have their electrical lines kind of fed through the old powerhouse of the IBM campus.
Can I just follow up and ask, so Ulster County's lease for the Workforce Innovation Center will not be impacted by the 600 parcel?
So what I can say with this, and I think that pursuing a direct lease between the county and iPark is actually a better situation for the county when it comes to that issue, because it releases USITA from being in the middle of a long-term landlord-tenant relationship regarding the county's use of space on the facility. Through this lease, that will be a direct relationship between iPark 87 and Ulster County. USITA is still, and their board of directors, is still interacting with National Resources on all of those issues. And frankly, I think this is a better situation because USITA is no longer also a tenant of National Resources. So I think it better positions them to have those conversations.
Is the leased space that is in discussion in this committee right now running on generation backup, or is it powered by some other way? I'm trying to understand if the energy situation at Tech City that's problematic is affecting our lease space that we're about to enter into a lease for?
No. So the kind of irony is that the parcels that are impacted by the non-functioning bus in the powerhouse are properties that were sold off before the county acquired through foreclosure the rest of the campus. So they were historically part of the IBM campus, and that's why the electrical infrastructure goes through the powerhouse, but they are now privately held. So none of the main building is in that situation with backup power.
So who technically is responsible, and do we have cost estimates on what it's going to take just to get us to a point where we're comfortable with electricity, and who is responsible for it?
So again, this is a completely separate USITA matter regarding.
Before, you know what? Okay. Before I finish my question, I'll lead in by saying that I hear this a lot. I never heard this 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't hear this as much as I hear it now, where we constantly get told you're not voting on that, almost suggesting we shouldn't be discussing it. This is a massive amount of tax dollars that continue to go into this place. There's lease after lease. They're all connected. If we are going to continue, it's multifaceted what's happening here. The idea that we have a major question about the property certainly comes into play on whether many of us would want to be a yes or no on 553. My question stands, and I do think it's involved.
So the reason I'm clarifying that is because I think it's important to understand what is the purview of USITA and what relates directly to this resolution and this proposed lease. That's the reason why I want to parse those things so the committee members understand what is part of this lease and what is a greater USITA discussion. To that point, there are multiple legal agreements that include the master property agreement, that include the purchase and sale agreement, that define the relationships regarding utilities and who's responsible for maintaining them. It is National Resources' responsibility to maintain that electrical infrastructure. However, USITA must grant permission. And it needs to, so it comes at National Resources cost. They have gone out and gotten several quotes on that. Folks have had to, you know, industrial electricians. This is very high voltage. This is not in any way like regular commercial electrical work. So there are multiple quotes on that. They've been reviewed by USITA along with counsel for USITA. And those are clearly the responsibility of National Resources, but USITA has to give them permission. That comes with understanding the quote, the vendor, having insurance, et cetera, for entering that property in order to make those repairs.
Has there been disagreements on whose responsibility some of these things are? So when you say you had to push to get Natural Resources, what is that? Define push.
So that is in reference to coming to a closing on the 600 parcel. The issue regarding the electricity has been it's very obvious, and the tenants in the back, you know, the town is well aware of what's going on there. So that's an issue that is, you know,
so you haven't
well
had to push
understood.
Them on that, but you have
no.
had to push on a closing. What
so,
is push, who pushes and who on Natural Resource? Logistically, what is a push from the EDA to Natural Resources?
That comes through, you know, again, in discussions with them regarding what are, you know, issues to be discussed between USITA and Natural Resources as far as we need a realistic closing date for the 600 parcel. And some of that has to do with what their you know, their
financial situation is?
But I don't know if not just financial, but also, again, going back to the amount of work that's had to be done on the campus and kind of the prolonged timeline of the remediation of the, both the piles and of building one, that has definitely played into that.
Has Natural Resources ever intimated in any way on the record or off the record to USITA or the county that they may want to pull out, that they're having second thoughts on this deal?
Of the 600 parcel?
No.
Of the whole thing? No.
Of much of the deal? No.
Yeah, no.
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Does anybody need to take anything out of order? I'm sorry, I should have asked that up front. No? I think it's number five.
Actually, can I ask a quick question? Is anyone accumulating comp OT right now? Because I would like to take it out of order if it's specific to something that you're going to be dealing with. So if there's any comp OT being accumulated, I think we probably should take out of order to save the taxpayer money.
Yeah, I think most people that are here are here for that. All right. Resolution 5-5.
So we're just going to ignore that because I guarantee there's people here getting comp OT for this. People with 32, 35-hour work weeks. We don't want to go down that road.
Their hand, so I don't
okay, so I take that as a no. No one here will be putting in any comp OT for this meeting. Okay.
I just want to point, if I may, I just want to point out that it's not the role of any legislator to direct instruction at any executive staff member that they divulge anything about any of this. So.
Point taken. All right.
Chair, if I could just add to that, I think that if the members of the committee have a concern, then I think the members of the committee should raise it.
All right. Resolution 553, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Well, hold on. Before we go through that, we actually have the planning director here. So we amended this in laws and rules, right? This is that one?
Yes.
Yep. So we have the planning director here who might know the answer because we had the question about the short-term rental language being added initially. There was some discomfort, I believe from our council with that. We then amended that language out of that in laws and rules. I just want to make sure that we're good with that.
So the short answer is that we would prefer the restrictions on short-term rentals being entitled to a tax break, but the sense is that the committee wanted to move forward without that being there. There are many towns and communities in the county which would restrict short-term rentals from being used in ADUs by zoning provisions, the city of Kingston being one, for that example. So for that reason, we did not object to the fact that short-term rentals were removed.
Okay. Senator Collins?
Oops, sorry.
And I think living in a town that doesn't have the same laws as Kingston, I liked the fact that that was there, that the exemption was there for short-term rentals. It is an issue in Woodstock having short-term rentals and ADUs. So I would prefer the language being there, but I'm not going to stop this law if I'm one of the only people that believes that. So I guess that's the question. What towns do we know are being affected? Which towns are not being affected?
So I was just going to add on, sorry, majority leader, that I didn't have the answer in the last meeting. We are also moving forward with the registry. So I was talking to Ushachal, sorry, because he had asked me in the last meeting. I didn't know the answer. Sorry. We are moving forward with the registry. So that registry component will make it much easier for us to be tracking the short-term rentals and all of that compliance as well. I know that was an initial concern. And if we have short-term rentals in here, how are we going to actually enforce that? That will give us more of that actionable to be enforcing that section.
Thank you. I think that helps. I too, support the idea that the ADU is not that if an ADU is being used as a short-term rental, then it not qualifying the same way. And I wouldn't want to have the burden for keeping that from happening to shift completely to the municipalities without the municipalities being given some guidance on that. So I supported the removal of this clause for now, but I would appreciate the follow-up that if the municipalities are the ones that then have to do something and that's not happening, that it come back and that we get to look at it separately, that question.
If my understanding, I think I'm pretty sure we all agree that we don't want anything good to happen to short-term rentals, right? Particularly not a tax break, you know? And it's even frustrating when we have people come to public comment and talk about their short-term rental woes, you know, and the effects other things might have on them, but leave that for a different conversation. The addition of short-term rentals, our understanding, and I feel a little bit like we're talking in, I hope we're not talking in circles, I worry that we are, because my understanding was that the short-term rental language couldn't be here because it wasn't consistent with the state law. Is that something we can, from council, can we hear from council on that? He has his own mic.
Yeah, our understanding, and after reviewing the state enabling statute, was that there were inconsistencies, and that's why we raised it at the meeting. And my recollection was that Mr. Doyle was going to get some clarification on this point at some juncture.
Okay, so it sounds like the way that this has run the course is we raised a concern that it was inconsistent, and the concern is acknowledged, and that's why we're pulling it out of here reluctantly. Is everyone kind of feels okay? All right, so I'm good with that. I'm all for pushing the language and pushing the state and conflicting with the state, even if it's putting us in territory, because I think that I think counties should have more control than the state has granted us. The state is very covetous of their short-term rental powers, and I would love to challenge them a little bit more, but the advice that we've gotten is not to do that here.
All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 731, do you have a motion? Second? Discussion? Legislator Maloney, turn your mic on.
That's what I think we should go for the amendment first and then.
Does everybody have a copy of the amendment?
Yeah.
Like to move the amendment?
Your mic.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the amendment on 731.
Is there a second?
As written.
Second. Discussion? Mr. Collins?
I have concerns about the legality of the amendment. I don't know if we can segment reimbursements in this kind of manner. I personally would like to have an opinion from the county attorney to see the legality of this amendment and before I'm willing to vote on this.
Can we ask a couple of attorneys we have here?
Yeah, I share that concern.
So we did research this issue, and because the way it's drafted affects taxpayers that are similarly situated, and based upon our research, it's not arbitrary and capricious. We do not have any legal problem with this as it stands now. And I believe minority counsel joins with my opinion.
Okay.
So if it's
I have a lot of this whole thing. I feel like I'm going to talk in a circle here when I explain why I'm opposed to this amendment, and it goes like this. I have a lot of apartment buildings. I have a lot of duplexes. I have a lot of owner-occupied multifamily in my district. This seems like it excludes urban density. This seems like it's actually really an affront to urban density. It feels like it's really quite targeted for certain types of communities and to exclude others. And as I say that, I get to the original point of why I'm never going to support this ever, is because even if we did give these multifamily places their tax breaks, they would never return that to the tenant. So I'm not supportive of this amendment. I'm not supportive of the whole thing.
Legislator Nolan? Legislator Malone?
Yes. I heard we can't do this. It was something very similar because Central Hudson and New York State are going to get the biggest brunt of it. That's why we can't do it. So we took care of that. Oh, it's going to be all these slumlords that are going to get the money. So we took care of that. You know who's going to get the money back? The people that paid us the money that shouldn't have. The reason we have all that sitting money is because of what we thought we were going to get in sales tax, what we ended up getting, and what we took from our property taxpayers. So this is a way to say when we have all this money, we don't even know what to do with. Year after year, the state comptroller tells us we have too much sitting money. And that sitting money is not ours. I know we don't look at it that way anymore.
Point of order, are we talking about the amendment or the resolution now?
We could be talking about either.
Do you want to
vote on the amendment?
Let's say, Molly, please continue. We'll let's just get it out of the way.
Okay. So we're giving money back to people we overtaxed at a time where people could really use a couple $100. We have all that money. We took too much, and this is a way to give it back. Dutchess County's done it. I think it'd be nice if Ulster County did it.
Since we're talking about the resolution, we have many, many things in front of us in terms of shortfalls due to federal government changes. And this is the wrong time to take back this money. And it, in fact, in my view, validates the fact that we didn't lower taxes at a time when we had reason to expect that changes in intensity and frequency of rainfall, which I'll say instead of saying climate chaos, but we have a pattern that we see that is increasing our cost, and now we have decreased revenue that is already we're feeling. And so this was wrong when it first came forward. It's wrong now. I was prepared to consider supporting the amendment because it seems to move in a better direction. But I do have a concern that even if it might be legal, that we would have to potentially be litigating to find out if it was legal. And I don't want to give this money. So I'm a no both on the amendment and on the resolution.
Commissioner Duff.
Although I understand the intent of the resolution, I do have some concerns. I feel like we are already doing things to address the overage. And having different players trying to spend the same money out of the same bucket, we're going to end up having some issues there. You guys, the legislator, the county exec, have established bridge reserve or retirement reserve. We're paying down debt in the tune of about $13 million. We're just now starting to see resolutions to pay for capital projects directly out of unassigned fund balance. I'm not even sure or clear to what extent we're going to do that. So that's a consideration. Unrestricted fund balance is a constant moving target. That's why at the end of an audit, it's in the policy that I come to you in June and I present to you ideas of what to do with any overages. We're using numbers here from 2023. It's well over a year ago. Our audit's only a couple months away where you're going to get a solid number from 2024. Then you have to look at this big, huge number everybody keeps talking about. Our unrestricted also has assigned fund balance. You've assigned $62 million of those funds already for a purpose. So there are policies, I've seen sample policies out there where if you wanted to consider changing the policy so that we only look at unrestricted and a target range there, that is a potential consideration. But knowing that once you spend that $62 million, that's going to drop. So it all these things need to be considered and understood that it's just a constant moving. There's other things, the federal funding being questionable right now. There's even the concern of the logistics of actually how finance is going to do this. You could ask Max a little bit more on that. But I think that what we really should be doing is mitigating current and future risks to ensure that we have stable tax rates for, I think that helps everybody continually going forward, not just this one time and being done. So I think paying down debt and, you know, working to increase our reserves at some point is what we should be looking at.
You know, with all due respect, it's the first time I've ever heard this from this position. Of all the money we spend, the $400 million a year, the tens of millions of dollars every month, I've never heard a concern about how we spend the money. Nobody ever wants to look into all the overtime or the comp OT. We're buying golden doodles, raises for ourselves. Tech City, we just got done talking about. Anybody that was listening, I think, realizes we're not, there's not a lot of confidence there, or there shouldn't be, and we have poured money into that. No one's concerned. But as soon as we want to take money and give it back, we're not spending. I heard we shouldn't be spending. We're not spending. We're giving money back to people, the people of this county that we overtaxed. I'm not surprised, but I don't get it. And we have plenty of money. And one of the reasons that we're working off of old books is because we're the last county in the state to do our book and get our books done. So we're constantly working off of old numbers. And then we get it thrown in our face that we're using old numbers. How can we use numbers we don't have yet? Feel free to get them in quicker, as quick as the other 50-something counties do. Let's give this money back to the people that we overtaxed.
Sir Collins.
I'm kind of lost to where we are because we keep getting off topic, but is there a motion to amend? Is that?
There is.
Okay. If I make a motion to postpone until we receive the opinion of the county attorney, should I wait until after that motion passes, if it passes, or should I do it now?
You can't do it.
Okay. So I will wait until after it passes, if it passes, the amendment. Correct?
Okay. Or get them to withdraw it.
I don't know, that would be a third motion within a motion. I think you can do that, make a motion to postpone at any time. I just don't know the value.
I think it's better that if we pass the amendment, then I'll make a motion to postpone the resolution until we get an opinion from the county attorney.
Legislator Roberts.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to say I don't want to be repetitive. We can just call a question on the amendment.
All those in favor of the amendment? Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
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 Three opposed. All right. So that passes. So now on the resolution as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You heard a lot of reasons from the finance director and the majority party and why we can't give this money back to the rightful owners, pay down the debt. It's going to rain more. Federal government, the big boogeyman, might cut us off. But this money is not ours. It was taken from the taxpayers, and they work hard. A lot of these people are struggling. Their houses are overvalued. They can't, you know, if they sell their house, they can't move anywhere else. Inflation, taxes keep going up, school taxes. This is temporary relief. It's going to help these people. One-time deal, shot, to give them a few bucks back. Everybody's going to probably get about $280 back, depending on where they sit. You know, we should just pass this and be gone with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Is he making a motion or no? Is there a cop? No one? Sorry.
I would just say that I do believe that it is beneficial people to have stability and to have a pattern from government that they can expect. And I think the taxpayers and voters who are not taxpayers who have shown by their votes for both the members of this legislature and the executive, how they want finances handled. So I don't feel that this approach of we'll see if we think we have enough money, even though we took it in fairly with a known tax rate, but now because of what we think we'll give it back. And if it were a period of time where we were looking at stability in these other realms, then I could, you know, think harder about this. But it's for the increased frequency and intensity of rainfall to be disparaged, for the fact that we've already seen decreases in funding of programs that provide food to people. This body is looking at a resolution to provide $350,000 in additional money to back up and keep farmers getting funding to give local food to people, because we expect or already know that that money is not going to be there from other sources. And when we reviewed that resolution, the question came up, is it enough? And the idea was that it was a start. So if you have to think about it this way, I'm thinking about, we're going to provide local dollars going to those farmers, going with local food, healthy food to children, instead of sending money out in the mail that I don't know what gets done with it. So let's hold back a little bit on disparaging the attempt to do something careful with this funding that does as much good or more good than what is being proposed here. Those that want to do it as the check, go ahead. But I prefer to keep providing the services that this county has been providing that people rely on.
Mr. Collins, were you going to make a motion to postpone?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to postpone this until we get an opinion from the county attorney.
A second.
Second. Discussion? Senator Mullen?
Just, I put the two attorneys that we have here in the legislature up against any attorney in this county. I just don't know why we continue to act like their opinion just doesn't matter whatsoever, and we want the county attorney's office or the county attorney himself. I just don't understand how we could have those two strong opinions and then still want to go. We obviously want the county attorney to come up with something so we can say no. But just, we have two lawyers. Why do we have these lawyers is my question.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that. We have Council Pascal. He's been with us a long time, at least 10 years. I know Council Rigucci has been here a while. He's a judge in Rosendale. They both gave their opinion. Now we're going to dismiss them like they're a couple of yo-yos? I think not. I'm going to be a no in this postponement.
Just a point of clarification, I'd also like the two legislative attorneys to look at it again and provide something in writing.
Okay. Any other discussion? Legislator Collins?
I mean, I feel like if we do it this way, we'll be sued by every person who's not a single family dwelling to get their tax rebate. I mean, does someone with an ADU not get this or get this? I don't know. Does someone with a two-family dwelling, I guess they don't get this. How's it different than a single-family dwelling? That's exactly the concern that legislators talked about. There are a lot of different people that pay taxes beyond this one single-family dwelling definition.
Mr. Kovacs?
I hear the reasons, and I think it would have been cleaner if we just adopted a 15% tax cut as part of the 2025 budget. We wouldn't have to send out checks in the mail, wouldn't have to do all this extra work. That would have been the cleaner way to do it.
Any other discussion? Since we don't have a motion for these, all those in favor? Postponement, I'm sorry. I will yes on postponement. Okay. Resolution 52, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? Senator Collins?
I'm going to make a motion to postpone this. There is a pending suit that the county is involved with that will have an impact. The result of that suit will have an impact on whether or not provisions of this policy are acceptable or not. I think we should postpone this until we get the resolution of that lawsuit.
Is there a second? Second yourself. Discussion. Hold on. Legislator Maloney.
I was going to ask for another month, but after I was looking for an amendment that would the month I wanted to go over, talk to the DA's office a little further. We did exempt them from the GPS, but they wanted a further discussion. I'm willing to do that and see what they can come up with. The amendment, first of all, what this lawsuit that was mentioned, the head of the union that should not be negotiating with two children, that there's evidence that if they've gotten preferential treatment inside our county, there's no way he should be negotiating. And
that's
on top of it, that's who they've worked with on this silly fake lawsuit. It's bizarre to me. They preemptively told someone no. It's the reason they're asking for a postponement, John. So certainly we can talk about what the reason is. They preemptively told someone they could not get a truck because of a policy that does not exist. But the policy that does exist says he can't have the truck. It's bizarre. Legislator Litz was kind of surprised the other day. What is – this makes no sense why you would preemptively – the person, one of the 30 people that might be affected is the union head's son, who is putting this weird story together with the executive's branch. I just don't get it. I don't get why. It's all games. It's just all games. So we exempted this. We exempted DPW in this amendment momentarily out of all this to get rid of the fake lawsuit and gives us a month to talk about the DA and everything else. So I'm looking for a postponement. I would like, I think everyone would agree with the amendment, but just the silliness continues.
Legislator Norman.
Yeah, I was trying to get in because I'd like to offer the a motion to amend. I would need the motions to pass and the motion to postpone to be pulled back, I think. No, I can make a motion.
No, you can't. You're right, but okay.
If they will withdraw those motions.
Which I hope they won't, but okay. Yes, if they if they do, then yes, technically you can make the amendments, but there's issues with the amendment. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
If there are – so I was prepared to make a motion on the amendment. What are the issues with the amendment?
We have a motion, a second for postponement right now. The next – if it's not that, then Legislator Hansett was next on the list.
Wanted to speak on the postponement. We did have someone here from the DA's office that was waiting patiently. Unfortunately, he got called out on an emergency. So I want to, again, support the postponement.
Okay, thank you. Well,
I think there are several layers of kind of issues or problems with this, to be frank. I did share a email that it is not merely the improper practice charge, but also just the fact that this is a negotiated item of has to be negotiated through the union with the executive branch. I also just want to point out that the amendment exempts union employees from the entire policy. The entire policy is much more than just the emergency kind of emergency calculus on who gets a takeout vehicle or the economic benefit calculus. And frankly, would take a very thorough review of this 15-page policy to find all the right way to address union versus non-union employees. Because the way it is currently, it would exempt union employees from the entire policy.
Deputy Secretary Val, I don't want to cut you off, but this is on postponement. Those issues, I want to let you go a little further because Legislator Collins in his motion related it to the pending litigation, but I don't want to go too far into because we do not have an amendment. If there is amendment to be made, we can work out to fine tune it over the next month if this postponement passes. So I know there's concerns, but I think they need to be shared since we're postponing. So legislative mode.
Just quickly on the reference that this is a union negotiation, that it's not. It's got nothing to do with the collective bargaining agreement. It never did. There's not one iota of evidence. Any case law that's been referenced, any, has to do with situations, and there's only been a few, where in other areas where you had a specific titles, there was equity with the vehicle, it was negotiated and talked about. We don't have a minute from a meeting, we don't have an email, we have nothing in the contract that has anything to do with vehicles. The threat of lawsuit is just that, a threat. It would never win.
We're on postponement. There's no motion for resolution.
I was just explaining what was referenced. What she just said has the ability to influence the future.
And we will be discussing this again in the future if the postponement passes. If not, we're discussing it now. Anything else on the postponement for 1 month? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Resolution 84, can I have a motion? Second, Mr. Utah, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Resolution 85, can I have a motion? Second, discussion? Dennis?
Thank you. As I discussed in previous committees, we were faced with a protest on this bid. We thought we would be able to settle that protest prior to moving through the Ways and Means Committee. We have not been able to essentially address all the issues with respect to the protest. So with that in mind, I would ask that it be postponed.
Mr. Collins. Second. Discussion.
Can we ask a little more about...
Is on postponement here?
Well, or what the... What is someone taking... What are the specifics of this protest?
It has to do with some of the materials that were submitted with respect to the bid.
We're protesting, or
no? It's the other. We have two bidders in this instance. We did a mini bid, and one of the bidders is protesting the materials submitted with the bid, and we're in the process of addressing those protests. That protest.
The bidder that received the contract.
No, the other way around.
The one who didn't get it.
The one who didn't get it, and they're saying that ultimately, in layman's terms, what are they saying?
I'd rather not go into all the details until they're worked out.
We're postponing for 1 month. Any other discussion on postponement? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. The legislator Uchtel is out of the room. Have a motion to block 86, 87, and 88. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Motion. Thank you. Second. Second. Legislator Collins. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 92, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 93, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 94, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 97, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 98, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 99, can I have a motion? Second. Second, we have the discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 104, can I have a motion? Second. Second discussion. I'll just say, sounds like we have a radio repair technician. Did they happen to look at this by chance, or?
I'm sorry, the radio technician.
We now have one, I guess, but
yes.
Did they look at this resolution by chance?
I can talk to Everett. I know he has everything going through the department, but I can confer with Everett on that one.
Okay. I mean, it's a small amount.
Right.
So I'll look now for it, but just in future, if they could, all these things could be vetted by our new radio technician.
Absolutely.
That would be very helpful. So thank you. Yes. Wait, let's finish this one first. 104. Unless it's on 104.
Yeah.
Okay. 104. So all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. All right. So you wanted to go back, Legislator Nolan?
Yes.
Use your mic.
On resolution number 98,
yeah.
I think it'd be better if somebody else moved that.
I'll move it.
Okay. Second.
Second.
You.
Thank you.
Now abstaining or recusing yourself or?
I would like to look at that, but if I don't, I would rather not be the person who moves it. I'm willing to vote on it. Maybe I'll just abstain. I'll just recuse.
Okay.
Be cleaner.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you call for the vote again, though, because we did change the motion and second.
So 98. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One
abstention.
Okay. Purpose of employment.
Thank you.
So you tell, how do you want on the ones you were out for?
Which ones?
Yeah, please.
They all passed unanimously otherwise?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll vote in favor.
Okay. That's easy. Thank you, sir. Resolution 105. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 106. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 107. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 108. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 109. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Can I have a motion to block 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, and 116? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you. So I move the block. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 117. Can I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 118. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 119. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Be one no, Legislator Roberts. 120, can I have a motion? Second. Can I have a second discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 121, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? All those, okay. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 122, can I have a motion? Motion. One, two, handset. Second. That's you still. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 123, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 124, can I have a motion? Second. Second, I should go back. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Forthcoming resolutions, 102. Comptroller Gallagher.
Thank you so much. Just to bring the committee up to speed, National Resources IPARC is delinquent in school taxes for 24, 25 school taxes on many parcels, but the large parcels exceeding 500,000 in delinquent taxes. The county has received all three sales tax payments for January, and that they are over 18 million with an increase of 2.23% over last January. So I wanted you to have that good news. Like right now, returns on sales tax are looking good. Adult use cannabis, Legislator Collins, I'm on it. Unfortunately, there's been virtually no change since our last report, but I will just reiterate that we have received a 147,000 $265 payment on January 30th of 2025. That was an increase of 70% over the last quarterly payment. This payment was for taxes collected between September 1st and November 30th. We will keep 25% of that, or $36,816, and that'll be recognized as revenue. Unfortunately, the amounts that we need to distribute are not correctly categorized by OCM. We have notified them of that, and they have not responded yet. They said it's under review, so I just wanted you to know that. Occupancy tax revenues, recorded revenues, 9% of budgeted. We've budgeted $6.3 million this year, which is a big number now for those of us who have been around for a while. Last year's occupancy tax revenues were $7.9 million. They were 126% of the budgeted amount. So we kept the budgeted amount the same, which I think was a conservative approach. And we think that we'll probably reach that again. There is an accrual entry for 24 taxes, occupancy taxes, that'll have to be made coming up. So, you know, that last quarter of the year has 1 month in 24 and 2 months in 25. We have earned a lot of interest income in 2024, $9.6 million or 143.4% of budgeted. New World currently shows $36,000 more than we earned on our bank deposits. I just want to point out, and I think I've mentioned this before, that is from local tax collections. We might recommend that this interest be separated out from our regular bank interest. Maybe we need a different GL line for that, and we can talk to people in finance and budget about that. So far this year, through February, $1.3 million, or 17% of budget. $189,597 of that was earned from CDs, which the Commissioner of Finance opened, and the rest was from cash accounts. Our budgeted interest income for this year is over $7.7 million. So that's an increase of 15.3% from last year. I just want to mention health insurance expenditures for the fourth quarter of 2024 have not yet been allocated to all funds. A budget amendment will be required to post the expenditures to certain departments. The total fiscal impact of the unrecorded journal entry could be $8.9 million, of which $8.1 million will be recorded in the general fund. We don't come here and talk to you guys about expenditures, and I notice other financial reports do that. One of the reasons we haven't done it is because we take a lot of – there are a lot of things that happen at the end of the year. So you would have us coming in here and saying a small percentage of this was expended when really more than it was. But we've received – bank reconciliations fairly current. I'm very pleased with that, and I think the finance department really should be acknowledged for that hard work and taking over that. I would say to you that that work of transferring those responsibilities is largely over, and I know they're having staffing changes, but we're getting bank reconciliations, and that's really great. On the fund balance side, and I want you to know that Chair Criswell actually had been talking to me about reserves, and I had sent him the state controller's reserve guidance document. We talked about maybe coming back to you guys with some recommendations on fund balance. I didn't say it during the meeting, but I feel very similar to the Commissioner of Finance about sending rebate checks. I think we're going to be seeing some very tough times ahead. But we are going to close out the year in excess of our fund balance policy for 2024 again. So I want you to keep that in mind. The unrestricted fund balance of $89.7 million from 2023 combined with what could be right now, we're showing a $27.6 million surplus for 2024 in New World. So you add that in, and we could be looking at an unrestricted fund balance of $117.3 million, which would put us $38.8 million over the fund balance policy. This is all subject to material changes because the county's external audit is not yet completed and finance has not yet closed the accounting records for 2024. But, you know, we're trying to give you up-to-date information as we have it. And then since the last time we met, the Comptroller's Office released the 2024 pay dashboard update. We urge you to explore this tool as well as the vendor dashboard. Both are available on the website. I want to note that the quality analyst made a presentation to the Community Services Board at the beginning of this week, and one of the things she did is take them through the contract vendor dashboard. People were very happy there, and we had staff of the county ask, may I use that tool? And the answer is yes. So we urge every legislator here and anyone listening to this meeting who's in the public to go onto our website and look at the vendor dashboard. You can see every contract. You can get to every contract document. You can see every payment. It's updated monthly. We've released the audit of the county's self-insurance health plan. I know you guys saw some back and forth between us and the executive. I think we're all in agreement, you know, that the funds need to be separated, and they are being moved in that direction in the into the internal service fund. I just want to note one thing. We noted that there was not competitive bidding or an RFP for services, and it was misinterpreted to be the services of a layer group who handles certain transactions for us and decision making. That's not what we were talking about. We were talking about the services of the third party administrator, which, you know, is a very, very large actor for us. That's Blue Cross Blue Shield. Our audit of the PCORD program has been sent to management, sitting with them now. Our audit of community action is ongoing, so I know we received a request from the legislative minority on that. I want them to know that is moving along. Our audit of occupancy tax is ongoing. Specifically, we've been looking at all inclusives and the use of exemptions. The audit itself will result in additional revenues to the county, as several properties underpaid and one property was extremely behind on their payments as a result of a change in ownership and management transition. We have identified that, and I'm going to speak very carefully right now because this is a question that everybody's had. In 2024, the meals and activities exemption shielded approximately $1 million The meals and activities exemption shielded approximately $1 million from the sales tax year, and it would have been $2 million at the higher rate. So this is a question a bunch of you had. How much money is the county not seeing because of the all-inclusive exemption? And this will be documented better in our report, but I wanted you to know. It was $1 million in 2023, so if you double the tax rate, that's $2 million. Please keep in mind, we legally cannot charge occupancy tax on meals and on activities. We have the schedule that we have in the law so that we have a consistent way to do that. I'm not satisfied with it. I don't think anybody is. It's a clunky way to carry that out. But I continue to believe that there does need to be an exemption for services that are not lodging. So it's really not lost revenue. You cannot say it's $1 million or $2 million under the new rate in lost revenue to the county, because you cannot charge for a horse, okay? So I'm just putting that out there. This will be fully documented in our upcoming report. And then let me just close by saying the quality analyst is continuing to review year-end reporting coming in on the contracts. So a keen eye on, are we getting the services delivered? Are we getting the reporting that we should be? I think it's going to really help us help the departments and the vendors provide better information that hopefully will be available to you. What I would like to be is in the position where you can ask to look at and hopefully someday even click on our dashboard and see the reporting on a particular contract. Thank you. I'm happy to answer questions.
Mr. Collins?
Would it be helpfully beneficial for the legislature to contact the state OCM about allocating sales tax to the towns properly? As we talked about last month, the town's portion is the significant size of that portion, and towns have a much smaller budget than we do, so it's a significant revenue to them. And having the distributions go to the wrong towns, municipalities, could be a problem for them. So can we help you get an OCM response?
I think that would be a good idea. I'll just let you know that I CC'd all the relevant in our communication to OCM. I shared that with all the relevant town supervisors. Town of Ulster, in our opinion, was significantly overpaid, and there were other towns. City of Kingston received nothing. Marbletown received nothing. You know, so there were towns that and city that should have been receiving revenues, and we let them know in case they want to complain. I think OCM is swamped and they're trying to work through stuff, but, you know, it's unfortunate that they are not as quick in responding as we'd like to see. So it could not hurt.
I will say that I actually foiled OCM last year, and it took them 10 months to respond to my FOIL request.
Wow.
Do you know what the lag time is on from when they close out the month for sales to the point where you actually, in theory, know what you're going to get or what they actually give to the towns and the municipalities?
Yeah, it's not that long. It's around 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. But it may not be correct.
I understand that. I just didn't know how if it was 6 months.
Yeah.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, we get a notification by the 30th of the next month. It's, yeah, they're pretty quick about getting it out. It's just not correct, but.
Got it. And the contracts reporting tool there, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe we can talk about it afterwards, but still the search feature, I'm having a struggle using it.
I'd love to do a tour. Let's set up a Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I tried to search for something last week, and I think.
Oh, I would love to show you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other?
And, you know, maybe we should come to the committee and take 2 minutes in our presentation next month and show everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the fact that I'm doing it on a mobile device, I don't know if that makes a difference.
It should work on mobile.
Okay. All right. Capital project updates.
So I'll leave it real short and simple for you. The list you have in front of you, it is all the capital projects that have been rolled from 24 into 25 that are still open. And it also includes all the work in the 25 through 2030 capital program that's planned on being worked on this year. You'll see for 25, there is not a lot of financial activity yet, as we just rolled the capital projects last month. So there will be a little lag to the billing hits here. A point to note, though, is that as of the beginning of March, the 24 capital spending was roughly $39 million. Now, keep in mind that's not closed, but my recollection is that is the highest we have ever spent in capital dollars in any fiscal year.
Thank you. Continue to find this way of reporting this information very helpful. On the page for the Government Operations Center, the entire budget is $35 million, and the actual expenses so far is $4 million plus a little bit. And I don't see $31 million in additional costs still coming. Where are those other costs if they're not on this sheet?
So it's going to be based off of what's been approved by the legislature to date. So if I'll walk you through that sheet, it's the $5.2 million is what's currently been approved by you, of which $4 million has been spent. A large hunk of that was the land acquisition.
Thank you. That answers.
There's some more?
So we're not planning on spending anything in 25 on Elizabeth Street. What is the plan there? Or no, I might be on the wrong line. No, that doesn't look like. Yeah, that's a blank. What is the plan there going forward?
You want to answer this, Joanna?
So we, the County Executive Office is currently working through a request for proposals for Elizabeth Street. Those proposals came back into us, I believe, about 2 weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago. We're currently reviewing those proposals. As it currently stands with respect to that, we do not anticipate that the county will have to expend additional monies with respect to Elizabeth Street, and we will be asking the legislature to consider a surplusing of the Elizabeth Street and hold a public hearing so that it could be surplus to the Ulster County Housing Development Corporation. That resolution has been submitted to the executive staff for consideration by the legislature in April.
What did we go out to bid for?
We didn't go out to bid. We went out to something called a statement of qualifications.
On a demo or something?
No, it was on a reuse of the property site.
Had nothing to do with a demo possibility?
Well, there will be the thought being is that the reuse will require a demolition.
So, yes, a demo.
Well, I'm speaking to the outcome. The outcome is not a demo. The outcome is a reuse of the building, is a reuse of the property for affordable housing.
But to do that, there would be a demo, you're saying?
The current applications before us contemplate demolition.
That it's probably going to be demolished.
Yes.
Who's going to pay for that?
The current work would be paid for by those folks that essentially would be involved in the reconstruction of the construction of the affordable housing unit.
So we're just trying to figure out how much it would cost for them?
I think the question was asked is in terms of the capital, what capital needs would be available from the county. The answer that I gave you was essentially none.
So, but why are we trying to figure out how much it would cost to demolish it if we're not going to pay it? I'm just saying, are we going to hand
it? I don't believe we are.
We're not.
We're certainly not trying to figure out how much it's going to cost to demolish it.
Okay. We're just talking. Is there anyone specific we're talking to?
There are two, at least two people that are in two community, two firms that are involved in the SOQ.
So in theory, we'll give them the property, and then they'll do the work.
That's what was in the SOQ, and the SOQ contemplates that the county will not charge for the property since the property was paid for by ARPA funds, and there's a question with respect to if we were paid back that the money wouldn't stay in Ulster County, would have to go back to the federal government.
I don't think anyone would give us anything for the property. That the reason we're not taking anything, and why wouldn't we want to give tax dollars back to the federal government? If we could get something, if there's a value there, why would we forego that value just because the federal government's going to get the money?
I think we are in agreement.
We're not going to get any money for it because it's not worth anything, right?
I didn't say that. I think we're in agreement that we don't want to charge for it as it relates to where the money would end up in.
Because we just don't. So we could get something for this property after spending $700,000, and then because it was ARPA, we'd have to give that back.
I think I answered your question.
I don't know if I had a single question here answered.
Let's say another one.
My understanding is that we purchased this property hoping that we would be able to have affordable housing on it, and that we use money for that purpose, and now we are implementing that, for which I'm grateful.
Mr. Collins?
Can I say one other thing? The best thing about this property from the beginning was its location. And it's still the best thing about this property. It is so valuable to this community as affordable housing. And there was a big outcry for Ulster County government to help keep that building in affordable housing. And so that's had a complicated course to get to where I'm hearing that we are right now. But this is what that community directly around that building, supported by the community across the Ulster County, wanted for that particular property in that location. It's walkable, it's known to the community, and if we are able to have someone come in and construct affordable housing on it, it is going to make that community very happy, I think.
Sarah Collins?
Just to follow up on that, to me, getting affordable housing for no cost to the county is a good thing, so I'm not sure what the objection is.
We bought the property for $700,000. There's been a cost. With regards to, and it's been years past, I mean, I don't even know how to try to spin that as positive, but, and it was 2 years over on their taxes. We could have foreclosed for free, but that wouldn't have helped certain people. Paradise Lane, has it gone up? I know a couple of years ago, I think we were supposed to be finishing this thing up soon, but, a couple of years ago, we went from, I think, 25 to 35 million as the what we were feeling where we were at. Has that changed? Are we still at 35 million?
As of right now, we're still at 35 million. We're getting bids back currently. We should have a draft of a budget soon. I can't give an exact date of when we'll have it, but we're not above 35 right now.
concrete number as these bids start to come back? When do you think? August, July?
I would think hopefully within the next few months, but I can't guarantee anything for sure.
Huh? The remediation is done?
So I can answer some of these questions. One is that the current construction schedule would call for construction and remediation to begin in middle of June or early June. And then we would anticipate it's an 18-month construction season. And I believe that we will be working to try to pull a budget together and a resolution to authorize this in the coming month.
The remediation hasn't even been done yet?
The remediation can't be done until we have the bid work done and go through all of the necessary requirements with respect to the Department of Environmental Conservation. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing testing on the site to make sure that we could adequately characterize the site with respect to what remediation was required. We've now finished that testing, and those reports are into the Department of Environmental Conservation along with the draft schedule.
Well, and we gave them a pretty solid environmental score to buy the place, and now it's taken years to even start the remediation when we were told we had to hurry up and vote yes on this or we weren't going to get this 911 center done as quickly. And now it's just been years and years and years, and we haven't even broken ground on the remediation. The last question on Paradise Lane is the water. Going back years ago, the previous owner found out there was some tainted water, whether it was coming – where it was coming from, or there's a salt station there near the thruway. But that ended up being an issue. I was wondering where we are. There was talk at one point about municipal water being brought in. We were going to have to tap into municipal, which was going to be quite a long run. But so where are we at on the water?
So we have in the bid documents and agreements with the town and the village the provision for municipal water.
And where does that – how long of a run is – there's not a hookup anywhere close, is there?
As a matter of fact, there is. There is currently a water line and a water district that exists that goes across the thruway.
We have to cross the thruway?
No, there's one that exists. We have to cross the thruway on ramp. That's the only one that we have to cross. The main line is crossed.
How many feet from the structure is it?
I don't know. I can – the documents are out there, but I don't know in terms of how far it is. But it's not as long as you think it would be.
Do we have an estimate on what that's going to cost?
We should have bid documents back that'll give you that cost.
Now?
I don't know. I believe that it's in the site contract. I don't know whether it's called out specifically in the site contract, but I believe it's in the site contract, the site bid documents.
Any other new business? Any old business? Motion to adjourn?
Myself and anybody else? On the committee, I'd like to specifically go to the facility that we're going to be leasing, and after that, hopefully this tour of the entire site.
Okay. If I can set that up. Motion to adjourn. Mr. Nolan, second. You shall. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you.